Hey, I'm Emma Liz, a coastal living, Jesus loving, NC native, and this is the Living Freed podcast. This podcast is for the girlies, the girls who feel weighed down by the chains of the world or the chains of the legalism in their church, who want to walk free in the life God created them for, who want to heal their hurt and heartbreak, is into self-growth, wants to deepen her relationship with Jesus and build community. We will discuss the everyday struggles, the deep late-night car combos you have with friends or wish you could have with your friends. We'll talk about boundaries, healing from past traumas, living free with Jesus, and what that looks like, the Bible, friendships, and of course, singleness. And if you aren't enjoying your singleness, try to stick around and learn how to. Before you get started, make sure you subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms and get notified when the next few episodes get released over the next couple of weeks. You can see all the show notes attached to this episode, and if you love this episode, please leave me a review. Now let's dive in to today's episode. I'm 28 years old. I'm from a small southern town outside of Raleigh in North Carolina. I grew up on a farm out in the country, and we shared the land with my aunt and her family. But now I live on the coast of good old North Kakalaki, and I love it. Let me tell you, I'm such a beach and sunshine girl. If the sun is out, I'm out. My family means everything to me. They're a big part of what makes my world go round. With my cousins living next door and my mom stressing that my siblings are my built-in besties, I'm lucky enough that I actually grew up liking my family. Now, don't get me wrong. We definitely fought. One time, I went 2 weeks without speaking to my sister. I mean, not a single word. Someone would walk into the room and I would intentionally talk to them and I wouldn't even look at her. She was non-existent in my mind. And on top of that, we shared a bedroom. But anyways, it did take my mom about those 2 weeks to notice what I was doing, and that's when things had to change. She reminded me once again, your sister's your built-in best friend for life, learning to get along and love her. And honestly, to this day, I can't tell you she deserved it because I don't remember what she did. Anyways, we all grew up pretty close. I mean, we did pretty much everything together. From living on the farm together and family vacations, throwing all of our parties together, playing in the woods, and heck, we even went to church together. And people would get us confused. I mean, I wouldn't say we looked that much alike, but I guess our families were close enough that people would call me by my cousin's last name. And honestly, it still happens to this day. I just got a wedding invite in the mail last week with their last name attached to my first name. And these people, the wedding people, I just met them like last year. They don't know my cousins, or at least I don't think they know my cousins. And again, North Carolina is a small town. They might actually know my cousins. But hey, I'm not going to correct them on it. It is what it is. Nothing new in my book. I've known Jesus since I was a little girl. My mom says I would dance in her stomach when she was pregnant with me, whenever they would sing worship songs or she'd have them playing in the car. I believe I was fortunate enough to have been filled with the Holy Spirit from the very beginning. When I was 3, I started begging to be baptized, and the church leadership kept saying I didn't understand what I was asking and would say no, but I wore them down. By the time I was 5 years old, me and my little sister both got baptized. My story isn't my family story. Neither of my parents really grew up Christians. Actually, my mom grew up being anything but. Her mom had been a witch, a Jehovah's Witness, basically you name it, she probably became it. My mom became a Christian in her early 20s, and it ended up not just saving her life, but my older brother's life, and then all of ours to follow. My parents are unique people, or at least that's the simple way to say it. What I'm about to tell you will make them sound like the ultimate Christians, but trust me, even though I don't regret the choices that they made for our family, it definitely put our lives on a bit of a roller coaster. I grew up with my mom and my aunt. They're the type of people who would pick up a homeless man off of the side of the road and bring him home for Thanksgiving. Like, no, literally, they did that. I'm pretty sure more than once. My parents took in anyone they deemed safe enough at the time to live with us. We had ex-drug dealers, drug addicts, ex-gang members, and even a young woman who used to do sex work lived with us at one point. I got to spend a lot of my early teens hearing crazy and horrifying stories, like about people getting initiated into gangs. I watched people experience withdrawal and kind of went through it with them. While they were quitting drugs, I was quitting gluten. And trust me, for an Italian girl, that's actually, especially from the South, it's really hard. Between the bread, the pasta, and the fried chicken, it felt impossible. My most traumatic at the time, but now favorite story to look back on was when I was 12. I was in my cheerleading uniform, sitting in the passenger seat of my mom's car with the sun coming in through the window on a perfect fall day. And some guy was sitting in the seat behind me, telling me how he almost had to kill a man, basically that he pretended to kill a man so that the gang he was in wouldn't kill him. I honestly blacked out and can't even tell you why he got in that situation in the first place. I just remember trying to play it cool and wondering, why the heck is my mom not back in this car? Two, why did she leave me with this random 17-year-old scary boy? And three, are we really bringing him home with us? How will I ever explain this to my other homeschooled friends? Because yeah, I was homeschooled. That guy is now a worship leader, one of the strongest Christians I know, happily married, has two kids, and he's like a big brother to me. It's funny how time, life, and Jesus can change you. All those people that lived with us and allowed me to do life with them and learn from their experiences gave me such a different outlook on life than so many of my friends that grew up in church. Church was hard. When I was young, my parents joined what I would call a church-like cult that ended up kicking my older brother out of church. I spent 6 months not hearing from him. My parents wouldn't speak his name in the house, and the kids at our church would make sly comments and remarks about him. Now, my parents didn't leave him homeless. He went to go live with his dad when he was 14 and I was 9. So you can imagine it wasn't easy for me to understand as a kid or process it. I was told by the church that he was a bad person and was choosing the world and sin and Satan over Jesus and me. As I got older, I started to see the flaws in the church, but the church also started to point out mine more and more. My mom was told by leadership that I needed to learn to be seen and not heard. So after conversations and many conversations with my parents, I learned. I learned to be quiet. I learned to be agreeable. I learned to not speak unless spoken to. I was silent. Which is so funny because I come from a loud Italian family of very strong women. I mean, we're the type of loud that when people meet me, they think I'm an extrovert. And then they meet my family and they go, oh my gosh, she's an introvert. We're the type of loud that I actually have to go get my glass of wine and go find a small corner to hide in with a book to get a break from the chaos. I love listening to them all talk over each other and debate things, but sometimes an introvert needs a break, you know? Thankfully, we did end up leaving that church. And we went to a new one with a lot of the same people from the old one. But it was different. These people were like us, just trying to figure it out. I was 14 when we left that church, and there were no girls my age at my new church. So my parents allowed me to visit my grandparents' church, but the agreement was I had to go to their church as well. So yeah, that's right. Two church services back to back on Sundays, thrilling stuff you can imagine. Eventually, when I could drive, they allowed me and my sister to go just to my grandparents' church, which I would say my healing with the church really began and my relationship with Jesus started to deepen. And that's what I want for you. I want you to know you're not alone, whether it's church hurt or weighed down by the world. I want you to experience what it's like living with Jesus freed, to not compare yourself to other Christians or to worry what others think that maybe you're too Christian-y. I want you to question what you believe and why, getting the outcome of having a stronger foundation in Christ. I want you to feel comfortable questioning what you've been told and not feel guilt over it. I want you to feel comfortable questioning God and letting Him show you His answers. Because I questioned. When I experienced more church hurt later in life, I decided to go to seminary school. Yes, the place faith goes to die. Because I had to know, why me? Why did God choose me? Do I believe in a God that could love me? I also went to learn how to read the Bible, to find the answers I'm looking for, and to help others. I want you to end each podcast either learning something, growing in something, feeling reassured, spoken to by God, letting go of a chain you maybe didn't know was holding you down, or just feel seen and not alone. God led me to seminary school, but then He also led me to an internship at A21, which is a global nonprofit that deals with anti-human trafficking. The thing is, though, it wasn't in my small town. It wasn't in the same zip code that I've always lived in. It was all the way in California. But that's a faith trust story for another time. This podcast is here because before I left, my life mentor told me she'd gotten a vision for my life that she wasn't ready to share with me yet. Then at a worship bonfire night, I was prophetically prayed over before I left. Once I got to SoCal, I met a tattoo artist. And y'all, I did not know this man from Adam. I hadn't even told him why I'd moved to SoCal. Literally, he said in his prayer over me, "I see you setting women free from chains. They are slaves, maybe physically or spiritually, but God is going to use you." Then it happened 3 more times by different people. But the thing about me is I, one, didn't grow up with that type of prophetic prayer and a vision kind of faith. I didn't grow up in that type of Christian way, she says with quotation marks, so I didn't know what to think about it. And two, I spent so much of my life learning to be quiet, to not use my voice, to not speak up, that this was more uncomfortable and terrifying than moving across the country, not just to a city I'd never been to before, but to a whole dang state that I'd never even thought to visit. Thankfully, Jesus walked with me through it all, and he gave me plenty of opportunities and spaces to practice and learn. I've had to rewire my brain and fight the mind trash, self-doubts and lies of, you're not enough. I've surrendered my fears and insecurities to my good Father, and will probably continue to have to do that because I'm human, but I also recognize it's not something he wanted me to carry, and that he never intended it, and that's the same for you. Together, we're going to practice living freed. Living because of the here and now, the present and the intentional action. Freed because it's already been accomplished. We just have to choose to treat it as so. We have to choose to live as someone freed and not just wait to feel free. I know it sounds so much easier said than done. You're probably driving in your car, cleaning your house, or doing your makeup and thinking, girl, how do you just choose to live free? What does that even look like? For me, it was learning to be honest, not just with God about my fears, doubts, hurts, or insecurities, but being honest with myself as well. He knew all my mess before I did. He knew I hated public speaking before I did. He knew my trauma before I did. He knew what lies people had spoken into me before I did. He knew the generational curses I was carrying, but I didn't, and I had to learn what those things, what chains I was carrying, what I didn't even know I had. A pastor I listen to sometimes says this, you have to think your thoughts. And Paul says, take every thought captive. He meant it in a different context, but it could still be applied here in with feeling. When you have a thought or feeling that is holding you back or down in any way than what free should feel like, then think it all the way through. That's something I want us to put into practice this week. Put into practice thinking your thoughts through. But what does that mean? Here are the actions you can take. What is a thought or feeling? Why is it there? Where is it coming from? How do I overcome it? For example, I've been working on getting to know myself better. As I've been going through prompted questions every day, one of the questions made me realize something. The two phrases that I wrote 3 times in one paragraph was, I don't want people to see me and I'm not enough. Obviously, you hear that and think, yeah, Hannah Liz, you don't want people to see you because you don't feel like you're enough. Well, I didn't get there so quick on my own. I had to then sit there and write out all the areas I didn't feel like I was enough and why I felt that way. I realized the fear was that if people really saw me the way that Jesus does, would they choose me? Would they choose to be my friend? Would they choose to know me, to even say hi to me? What if they saw that I'm not enough in whatever space they thought I should fill and decided they didn't like it? Would I be okay? Would I be able to live with that? Then I thought, if I'm not enough for all those around me, is Jesus enough for me? That's when I realized again, for the 100th time in my life, I keep trying to live for an audience instead of the audience of one. So I get to let go of the fear of not being enough and practice living freed of the fact that being enough isn't something Jesus ever asked me to be, and he's all that matters. And that's how you think a thought. Friend, this world is built to hold us down, to tell us who to be or not be, what we can and can't do, what is and isn't forgivable, but that's no way for us to live in Christ. Maybe you need to take some time and get to know yourself to see what chains you have on that you didn't know about. Or maybe you do know what chains you have that you're not free from, but you know you have some work to do. Let me tell you, you're not alone, but together we can walk into life living freed by Jesus and strengthened by him, but also by each other. So take this week, get to know yourself. Let God get to know you. Show him your fears and your insecurities. Take the time and see what feeling keeps sitting with you, what thought keeps rebounding in your head again and again. Maybe it's an action. Maybe you keep doing the same thing over and over and you don't know why. But think about it. Sit with it. Process it. What is it? Why is it there? Where is it coming from? What actions can you take to overcome it? For me, those actions were writing it out, processing it, and actively working against it. Find Bible verses to speak over it. Ask friends to pray over it. Bring it to God. Ask Him why this is a chain that's holding you down. Why is it weighing you down? How is it keeping you from living freed? Let's close today in prayer. Father, thank you so much for whoever's listening to this. I hope that she feels encouraged. I hope that she feels like she's one step closer to truly knowing you and feeling freed. I ask that you open her heart to you and open her mind to what might be holding her back. Give her wisdom and knowledge as she steps into living freed through you. Have her feel excited. Have her feel joyful, Lord. Have her want to experience what you have in store for her. Open the eyes of the blind. Open the ears of the deaf. Give us that one step of courage. Give us that one nugget of courage that we need to step in and start living as if your son died so we could be freed. And in Jesus' name, amen. All right, that's all I have for you today. Thank you so much for listening to the Living Freed podcast. Let's get connected. If you want to reach out, feel free to DM me on Instagram at HannahLizD or email me at livingfreedpodcast@gmail.com. If you're loving the podcast, I'd be honored if you go ahead and hit that subscribe button and leave me a review. If you have feedback or a subject you'd like me to cover, please email or DM me on Instagram. Again, thank you so much for listening. I hope you feel encouraged and lighter today. Bye, y'all.